Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're listening to Griefcast with me, Carrie Adloyd. How do we grieve for someone? How does it change and evolve as we get older? My dad died when I was 15, and it took me many, many years to be able to express what I had gone through. So I decided to create Griefcast, a chance to talk, share and laugh about the weirdness of grief and death. But with comedians, so it's not that depressing, I promise. Each time I talk to a different comedian about their own personal experience of grief as we remember someone that they have lost along the way. Whether it was a long time ago or you've just joined the club, this is a chance to talk about the peculiar human process of death. Welcome to Griefcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, thank you so much for listening and welcome to all the new listeners we've had since the British Podcast Awards. Thank you for joining us for some cheery chats about death. If you do enjoy the show, please do rate, review and subscribe. I know every podcast asks you to do that, but it really does help me keep making the show. And if you have done so already, thank you so much. It is genuinely appreciated. This week's guest is stand-up and writer Sarah Barron. Sarah is the author of two essay collections, The Harm in Asking and People Are Unappealing, and has written for Vanity Fair, On This American Life, and is a frequent host of The Moth, True Stories Told Live. She came in to talk to me about her IVF treatment she had a few years ago and the miscarriage she went through. Welcome to Griefcast. I'm here today with comedian and writer Sarah Barron. I'm already laughing. You're making me laugh.
That's so sweet. It's the formality of it.
I know.
Based on how we were just being informal together and the transition into formality has
made
you
laugh. Can you please explain what you just explained?
Yes. We basically, to test the levels, your producer said, can you make Sarah laugh? And one of the many horrible things about me is I'm actually not really an easy, natural laugher.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's not about not enjoying stuff. But you have told me personally some very good fart stories. And I so didn't see them coming when I was like, talk about your IBS. So I made you talk about your
farting at soft play. But can you say, because you just called it, what did you call it? Crop dusting. I've not heard this before.
I used to do it when I waited tables. I did it for many years. It's farting while walking.
Nothing makes me laugh.
And you sort of just let it. You're sprinkling,
you're
right?
Sprinkling like the fertilizer.
On the world in a slow release. So you told a funny story about soft play yesterday,
That did make me laugh. But the reason I really want crop dusting, I didn't know it was cool because that's what my brother does all the time.
Oh, it's so because this stuff runs in a family.
Oh, yeah. As I've said before, a big family of farters. So my brother, the worst story was when he was on the tube and he stood up and he crop dusted down. But it was so...
It's just when people act like farts aren't funny. They're effing funny.
So funny. And it was so bad that he said literally like one by one each person went, as he walked down because his ass was head height. And then he got to the doors and he turned around because he was like, oh, that was really bad. And the doors were like, beep, 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 beep. And he just said the whole carriage, like this whole row of people looking at him going like, you're disgusting. He kind of shrugged it. He was like, sorry.
They knew it was him.
Yeah.
See, I still think as a man, you can be bold in that way. Like, I once cleared a Starbucks like in mid-Manhattan. It was like in my writing days and I would sit with computers at a Starbucks for hours. And there was just, it was at my like most dysfunctional eating.
Yeah.
So I was like not eating any carbs and only eating, like I was on like I was doing something with sun-dried tomatoes. And what that does to your system something else.
Yeah.
And I just, it was like, why is this midtown Manhattan 1 o'clock on a weekday, these three tables empty? It's like Sarah Baron is farting and clearing. We're going to prove that we can talk about things other than farting, but I think it's so human. And if you're afflicted, which both of us are.
Oh, so bad.
It's just this part of your life.
It's probably not, which is why I think, again, a bit like death. It's a good You got to
laugh. It's a unifier.
Anyway, Sarah, on this much more. Yes. So obviously we know each other. Hence why we can talk about farts. I don't do this with all my guests. So I've never met you before. Tell me about your farts and your grief.
Yes.
So it's a bit of an unusual.
Yes.
No, unusual because I guess normally we talk about more conventional forms of grief, but I think it's a really important form of grief. Who are we remembering today? That's what I normally ask.
Right, I know.
To answer.
Of course, I would never show up to a podcast without having listened. So I was thinking about that question in my context, how uncomfortable it is.
It's tricky.
So it's a, you laugh because what else, right? Like, so we're remembering like a teeny tiny fetus.
Yeah.
Because what we're going to try and talk about is infertility. And I had a miscarriage. And I think like miscarriages are... There's so much variation in what that can mean to somebody, and you've never had one.
I haven't. No, yeah. I haven't had a miscarriage.
So many people have, like...
Yeah, yeah.
So many people haven't. I'm at a stage now where I don't... And I just turned 39, and I don't know... And, you know, this is anecdotal evidence, right?
Yeah, so it's not whatever.
But I don't know any women over 35 sort of actively trying to get pregnant who haven't had it.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, Karen, you have, right?
I know, because it's so common. I am, you know.
And you have not.
I'm very lucky.
I hope that you don't. But so
I
think
have you had more than one or you've had?
No, I just had the one.
Right.
And I think, like, I know so many women who have had a miscarriage in a variety of contexts and it can be like... upsetting, but not the end of the world. And like when it happened with me, I had been trying to get pregnant for 2 years. Mm. Some people try for 8, you know what I mean? But it was 2 awful years.
It's such a variable thing.
It's so variable.
Which I think is also why it's quite hard for sometimes if you haven't experienced. So I haven't, but obviously I have a lot of friends who have and family that have.
Right.
And I think it is hard. Perhaps that's why it's hard to talk about as well, because it's not...
it's not
people
one
don't
thing.
Know where to begin. Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think also even like the what it is physically is different for people. Like I think like some people go through excruciating physical pain with a miscarriage, and for another woman it's like a period.
Yeah.
And
that's, I think, also is the sort of, what's the word, sort of urban myth of it, of like, oh, it's just a heavy period. And I know friends who were expecting that and then had them,
and it's like you
were in agony, like labor, which, I can't, you know, it's
like, and you look in your underpants and there's like a miscarriage in it, you know? Yeah. So that was, we had tried for 2 years.
Yeah, so let's go back. So you had started IVF or?
So we, like, So first of all, I do not believe, like, I always thought I was going to struggle to get pregnant.
And why? Then why is
it? I don't know.
You just had a feeling.
It was just, and that's what I want to, it's not like, because sometimes, Carriad, what I believe is that our bodies know these things. And I don't think that. I think this is all weird coincidence stuff. But I just always thought I would struggle. And so when I went off the pill and it was like, okay, maybe now we would start trying and the timing isn't ideal, but whatever. I thought like, I was 34 and my husband was 40. So it was like, let's not waste time. Yeah. Like, let's not be that
but
couple.
But it's not scary.
It's not like, I'm starting trying at 40, you know, but let's not take 3 years to learn that we will struggle.
Yes.
So I went quite quickly, got all this work done, which with women is just blood work. And it was like, yep, you're good. And I was like, I'm good. I'm just good. That's so weird. My whole life I thought, that's so strange. I'm just, like, I think honestly it was like I had really light periods and no tits. You know, it's illogical and stupid, but I was
I know what you mean though. Yeah, you do think, oh, well, that's what being a woman is, which is complete bullshit.
Right, but you're like, I guess there's not a lot.
See, I have really bad periods, really heavy, really painful. Yeah, so like, I guess I really worried that I wouldn't be able to get pregnant easy, but I guess because I'm so aware of my period all the time. Yeah, your face.
That to me is like so like female and fertile and.
Oh, you don't feel it. You feel like shit. Like it's so painful. I know because I was talking to two other comedians once. I won't name names, but it was two girls, and one girl has really really bad period pain, and me and her were talking like, you know, yeah, like Jesus Christ, like just talking about how you can't get up, and this other girl was like, wow, I've never had it, and me and her were like. Like, I felt like I do when people tell me I've never known anyone who's died. I'm like, what world are you from?
Right,
like,
right. Yeah. Well, that's, so my period has gotten more significant since having a kid. Yeah. But I would have been that person previously. I'd never had period pain. I didn't.
Wow.
The idea of, as I call it, PMS was like not. I felt unwomanly.
To be fair, that has no relation scientifically to your fertility.
Right, but I even though someone says that to you, you're like, and even though you're, you know, so I just sort of.
But they said you were good.
They said I was good. And so, as you know, as is often the case with men who have to give a sperm sample, I had to do a little bit of nudging with my husband.
Yeah, yeah.
And it turned out his sperm was not good. Ugh. And I was like, isn't that just interesting? So anyway, but that's who you want to be. Like, if you're going to be a couple with fertility issues, you, like, bad sperm, no problem.
Yeah.
Like.
That's easier, is
it? You are the A-plus team. You're the king of the losers. And we were like, we are king of the losers. I'm in good shape. Yeah, they get some sperm. They stick it up you. You're good. And so we did this round of IVF. And
if people don't know, like, what's, when you say did around.
So what it means is you start taking, you know, you know, you talk about this stuff and you're like, I want to make it interesting. How does this become interesting? Like, part of what is terrifying about IVF is that the struggle to have a baby, it's not a death situation, but, you know, when people are like, life or death, it is it is difficult if you have not been in it. How crazed it starts to make you.
Yeah,
so as a couple in that, you are so vulnerable.
Mm.
And the shit that the businesses that spring up around people that desperate. So so some of the best advice I got given was find a doctor you trust and listen to what he or she says.
Yeah.
I am henceforth going to refer to it as a him, not because all doctors are him, but my doctor was a him.
Yeah.
Because you get told a million different things.
And there must be so much stuff on the internet.
There's so many different things to listen. You don't know what to believe. People will, you know, there are, like, I got a bunch of acupuncture because I know,
because
found
some people say,
and I found this guy who charged 20 pounds for acupuncture because his whole thing was these 80 pound acupuncture sessions.
Yeah.
It's a song and dance to take advantage of women who are like, will acupuncture help me? Does this kind of massage help me if I drink this tea? Like, and you will do anything. And
I was having acupuncture when I got pregnant, but for very separate reasons, for something else. I think for my like bad knee or something. And when I went to see him, I was like, oh, you know, I found out I'm pregnant, just, you know. And he was like, oh, you know, like, you're welcome. And I was like, I really don't think so. I don't think you had much to do. I think it was the sex I had. Like,
with my husband when I was ovulating and when he ejaculated into me.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah. And also, I hadn't been seeing him for that reason, so it wasn't like we were focusing on that at all. Like,
So listen, I believe in acupuncture, but I also think that what they tell you you can do, you know, all this stuff. So you're just in this unbelievably vulnerable place. You don't know what to believe. So we, like, knock around. We see some people. And finally, we find this one doctor who seems really trustworthy. And then you take a bunch of hormones as a woman.
So you're injecting yourself with hormones?
No, you start off, it's a nasal spray.
Oh, my God.
And then that, like, freezes your system. And then they take control of your system.
Oh.
Then you start injecting yourself.
Wow.
Then you produce all these eggs. Then you get a general anesthetic.
Oh, my God.
They go up into you. They take out all these eggs.
Oh,
and it's sort of this law of diminishing returns. It's like, we got 12.
Yeah.
And then they have to inject those with sperm. And then the ones that take, you know, from 12, it goes to 6. And from 6, it goes to 4. And from 4, it goes to 2. And then, you know, it's sort of like that. So then they...
And I've had friends that have had one, you know, that's it, this one.
The number of horror stories you hear about, I mean, and by the way, like, if you don't go through the NHS, and we didn't, because it's like a 2-year, it can be like a 2-year wait list to get started. And it's like, you'll spend any money.
Yeah.
So this is £7,500 straight out the gate.
Wow.
Just gone.
Yeah.
So we did it.
So this is the first round.
This
done
is the first
it.
Round, yep. And we're and then they hold them and they see how they're doing, and then so then you wait 5 days, and then they put them up you.
Yeah.
These fertilized.
Wow.
You know, they fertilize these blastocysts, and they put them into you. So it's not a question as to whether or not they fertilize. It's a question as to whether or not the fertilized blastocyst implants in your uterine wall.
Right. Yeah. That your body's like, yep.
Yep. We'll take this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're sat there, then you wait for 10 days, and it's, you know, the worst 10 days of your life. If those are the worst 10 days of your life, you lived a very privileged life, and indeed I had, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a miserable 10 days, and there's a message that is just relax. You know, the best thing you can do is relax. And you're getting that message when, you know, and part of
it's a bit like when you're, like, it's, you know, when you're waiting to have the baby, and they're like, the best thing you do is not be stressed. You're like, this is the most stressful thing I've ever done.
And part of why I loved this doctor was he was like, that's bullshit. He's like, women, think about the contexts in which women get pregnant and give birth.
Yeah.
Stress is not a component here.
Yeah.
And we were told, like, it was every, you know, the quality of the, like, every, we were like the A-plus clients, all this stuff. And I was just seized with this level of anxiety.
Yeah.
And it was horrible, horrible, horrible. And I didn't get pregnant. And I was so devastated. And you know, what's tough about, like, assisted fertility, IVF, whatever you want to call it, is no story. Other people want to tell you their story.
Yeah.
Which I think with any kind of grief is like, and people are trying to be kind.
Yeah.
But also, I do think people love to tell. And I mean, I have caught myself doing it. Like, and it is that I want to be helped. And I like to tell my own story.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
And
all IVF stories are either like, we got pregnant on the first round, and you're like, okay, you can just get in and out. Or it's like, okay, listen, Sarah, it took them 7 rounds. And you're in the midst of the longest couple of months of your life.
And I guess, it's that thing of like, you just don't know what's going to happen. You just don't know. So any story is bullshit.
It's bullshit. Like, and also, you don't... Obviously, part of what you do is you're talking to people who are dealing with this level of grief and these diagnoses and all that sort of stuff. But if you're not in that world,
you don't
understand how much control you have over everything else all the time, always.
And it does remind me of, like, when, you know, you say, oh, so-and-so is ill, and someone goes, look, she'll have the chemo, she'll be fine. And you're like, Or she might not.
Or but she again, might not. And how do you?
It's people's. They want to control something because they feel out. They see you feeling out of control, right. And they're trying to help. Like you said, it's so coming from
and
a good place.
And there's not a right thing.
There almost isn't a right.
There's just not a right thing to say.
Yeah, and I almost think sometimes that's what you have to say. Like, I don't have anything to say. I'm really sorry. Like,
right.
I can't really say anything, can I?
Right.
And you'd be like, no, you can't. You right. can't. Thank you. Like,
right. And my best friend, she's Miss Fertile. Like, she tries for a month. She gets pregnant. So she knew that she was in a tough position with me. And so basically, I did this round of IVF. It didn't work. Recover, do a second round, and it worked, and I got pregnant, and I was like, you know, just a level of joy that I had not experienced. Oh. And pretty quickly, it was like, this looks like, and you know, thank God it was actually quickly and not like at 13 weeks or have, you know, but there was essentially a, when you get pregnant, on a round of IVF, they monitor you like they do in, like in the States, women are checked up on all the time with their pregnancies
because you can make
some money off right?
Yeah.
So here that doesn't happen. So we went in and it was like, it took a long time to find a heartbeat.
Right.
And it was like, okay. And I, you know, that it's like, what does that mean? What does that mean? It was like, well, it we don't really know what it means.
Oh, it's just, you never ever want a doctor to say it.
Right.
But they say it quite a lot.
Yeah.
You're just like, you have to know everything.
I want you to know everything. I want an answer now, you know?
Yeah.
So it was, basically I had this week where it looked like things looked really suspect, but it might be fine, but it might not. We had to wait for that week, and it was a real unpleasant week. And, you know, several people are like, listen, this could be this. You are pregnant. It's, you know, and my best friend said something. I don't even, this is so funny now. I can't remember what she said, but it was like, it was somehow acknowledging that it could really go badly.
Yeah.
And it was like wanting to give that to me so that she could be trusted in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
to like
yeah.
say the difficult.
Like, I'm going to be, yeah, we're going to do this together, but that means like, I might have to say some horrible stuff.
Right, right. So, yeah. And then we went back a week later and it was like, I'm sorry, there's no heartbeat. It's not a, it's not a thing.
Fuck, to go from like everything's great,
such extreme joy to such devastation. And
did you, I mean, I'm only guessing, how did you feel like I've done something? Did you feel like that? Or
no, I didn't.
Oh,
I
good.
Felt like, and you know, thinking about, I'd never, you know, you move through life with, well, I was saying you, but you, I don't know that you do, but like my life had been untouched by real tragedy.
Right.
I think there's a very, I don't think actually this is real tragedy, right? Because end of story is I have a 2-year-old now, you know? So there's that, but in the moment felt, it was like a level of anger that I had not experienced before because nothing really bad had ever happened to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it felt, I hadn't ever been on the receiving end of something so unfair.
Yeah, well, it's a grief because you're completely out of control.
Right.
So someone's just saying, like, there's no argument. You can't, doesn't matter how much you beg or plead or you say, oh, this really matters to me. The life just goes,
right,
no.
And you're like, and
no.
You, of course, you're a smart person.
Yeah.
You know that life isn't fair. You know, but you're like, you don't.
No, this life isn't fair. Like, oh, I didn't get that seat or I didn't get that job or like, and then there's things get taken from you. You have no say in it. That's,
right. And it was, and you know, I felt embarrassed almost by how shocked I was by how privileged I'd been up until that point, you know, sort of consciously knowing that I was very lucky and had had a very lucky life in terms of illness and, you know, real bad shit.
Yeah.
And then like blind with, right. Because that was what the doctor was saying. Like, look, this is, I, you know, and they, I mean, because come on, you know, miscarriages happen all the time, the fertility stuff, they got people on the job, literally, who come in to talk to a woman in this moment, and they brought that woman in.
Wow.
And, you know, she's there to, you know, deal with me and my husband and all this stuff. And, you know, the message that they're giving you is this is very upsetting.
Yeah.
And it's very, very common.
Yeah.
And it's just the likelihood that this could have been a miscarriage was something like 1 in 3. I mean, it's so high.
Yeah.
And, but then you're just sat there being like, oh, but that's 2 in 3 that it shouldn't have been. Why, the, you know, just consumed with rage.
And also, you're pumped full of hormones, right?
Right. And
so
you're
that's the other problem.
Full of hormones.
You're not at your most rational. You're not at that like, okay, cool, I got, you know, sure.
Right.
I understand statistically. You're at that feeling of like, I want, yeah, and that I want a baby is, it's, until it hit me, I didn't believe it. I thought it was a cliche.
When it hits you. And I can remember being on a bus and saying to my husband, like, when I think about my dream version of my career.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like that really private, humiliating, like, stuff.
And the Oscar goes to.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And the Oscar goes to. Right, right. And this is so, so, so stupid and embarrassing. But, like, when at this point, as a woman who wanted so badly to be pregnant and have a baby and all this, the idea of a pregnancy and childbirth and, like, holding a newborn,
yeah.
Like, that was... It felt immeasurably bigger to me than yeah. And the Oscar goes to.
Yeah, it does. And it feels like it was something really loud
it,
and...
It's yeah. So overwhelming when you yeah. Want it and you think you might not get it.
So what happened after that, if you don't mind me asking? So they said this one's
oh, yeah.
Viable.
So people have multiple miscarriages, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, over my dead fucking body. I am not doing it. Because we're paying £7,500 every time we do this.
When is it 70? Oh, you, okay.
It's for something like £8,000. So it's yeah. Like...
No,
so
you're saying it in that American way, which was making me think of £75. Sorry.
I'm paying like, £75.
Yeah.
Like, right, sorry.
£7,500.
So it's basically like, £8,000 a go every time
oh,
you do this. And that's,
God.
I swear to God, that's the farthest thing from your mind.
Yeah.
You don't even, you just... You know, the way that if suddenly you were going to pay, not the way, it's a different thing. But,
no, sure.
If you know, if someone was going to be like, you just do it and yeah. You're just thinking about something else. So we get told that it's going to be a miscarriage. I am then like, I will not, because most miscarriages are a one-off,
yeah.
But also so many people have repeat miscarriages because there's another
yeah.
Thing going on. I was like, I can't. Of course, I could have, because this is the thing. We go, I can't.
Yeah.
And then it happens and you deal with it.
Mm.
And so then you make a choice about whether or not you get it sort of manually removed
yeah.
Or you wait it out. And then you can make a choice to save it.
Wow.
And submit it.
Oh, right.
For like testing
yeah,
to
yeah.
Confirm that it's not a genetic issue.
Yeah, yeah.
So now this seems so strange to me, but it also at the time I was like, I'm gonna wait this out because I can't have like I felt like my body was so broken that it couldn't get pregnant naturally.
Yeah.
Even though intellectually I know it's that my husband's sperm doesn't swim, like which I should just say he's very open about.
Yeah,
not
yeah,
and what
yeah.
I always say about him is the man looks like he'd have bad sperm and he has bad sperm. This is not like Mr. King, like 6'4", Mr. Athlete. I have this like nebbishy, tiny, bookish husband with no swimmers.
They're reading. The sperm are reading.
Yeah, the sperm are busy
swimming.
Reading.
Yeah.
So I think I just needed to feel my body do something naturally.
Yeah, I can understand. And especially when you've been mucked about with.
Yeah.
That's
you're just
how,
like,
yeah,
let
you get
let
to a
me...
point sometimes. You're like, I just don't want to be, I don't want someone down there poking around again.
Like, right.
I just need a break.
Just let me.
Yeah.
Oh, and no, do you know what? So funny. Like this stuff feels so key to you. So key to, and now I'm like, oh wait, no. The other thing was, is that my oldest friend, like from when I was 4 years old, she had fertility woes like nobody's business that resulted in a stillbirth at one point. Just like she had horrible luck. Like this, she finally got pregnant and lost the baby like at 8 months. Just nightmare stuff. And prior to the stillbirth, she had had a miscarriage and they'd taken it out of her.
Oh, wow.
And they'd fucked up her uterus.
Oh,
and
God.
That was then why she struggled to get pregnant. And then she finally did get pregnant and then had the stillbirth. She has a beautiful 5-year-old now. But the point is, even though that was like a 1 in 1,000 thing,
yeah.
I knew a person it happened to. I was like, nah.
Yeah.
So I weighed out this miscarriage and I had no idea what to expect.
Yeah. So, and you're just waiting.
You're just kind of waiting for this thing to come out of your body.
Oh, God.
But the thing about IVF that's interesting when it doesn't work is that, and it happened to me both times, is that this thing starts to happen where all these hormones start leaving you. And it's, you know, when like you've been really sick with a flu and suddenly you start to feel normal again, and just the feeling of normalcy, which is how you feel, feels like this electric shock of adrenaline. It's sort of like that. So even though something really upsetting is happening, you're waiting on a miscarriage, all these hormones are leaving you, and you kind of start to feel really good.
That's like, how bad my PMT is.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Me and Pascal have it really bad. So, like, we talk about this, like, golden week, and you, the hormones leave your body, and you honestly go, and we always joke, that's how men feel. Like, I feel normal. I feel normal. I'm in control. When people say things, I'm like, oh, that's reasonable. I'm not like, what? Like,
so it is, it's not, you're not just talking about physically how you feel. You have these more emotional responses.
Oh, like really, like so hormonal, like insanely. Like for, the week of March. And also, I use this app, which I talk about a lot, called Clue now, where you can track like your periods and your hormones. And so you put in every day, like, literally how you're feeling, like, sad or happy or stressed. And it made me realize, like, it's, you know, people think, oh, PMT, it's a week before your period. No, my PMT is, like, mid-cycle, like, as my hormones get ready to kick in.
So my brother and his wife, and they're younger. My brother is 4 years younger than I am. And they are Mr. and Mrs. Fertile.
Oh, yeah.
So they're younger. So it was like we were sort of all doing these things at the same time. And they they cannot have unprotected sex and not get pregnant.
Yeah.
So that's piece of information number one. When they got married, so I got married in 2013. They got married in 2012. Her dad passed away, I think, 7 weeks before their wedding. It was and wasn't sudden. He'd had cancer, but it had sort of been okay, and then it wasn't. And she's such a soldier. Like, it's not even like repression. She just is not a fucking victim. First of all, be a victim. I would, you know,
people
I don't
deal
even,
with it differently.
But she's not a self-pitying person. Yeah. And anyway, and it was a very intense wedding, and that's that. So that had happened, and then, you know, a year later, I got married, and we had a tiny wedding, and there was this moment when I went in to the bathroom, and there was, I can just sort of remember, like, seeing my sister-in-law sort of wiping at tears and someone near her, and there was this real sense of, like, don't upset the bride. Everything is fine, you know, and what I, of course, was able to realize was, like, it was just real intense for her to see me with my father at my wedding.
Yeah.
When I was in the throes of all this fertility stuff, like, I'm very, and again, in a way, like, very close with my father. And when I've thought about, like, when I'm trying to gain perspective, now I have a kid, so then you just think about the health of your kid. That's the thing you always do is, like, well, my kid's healthy. Prior to that, it would be like, my dad's alive.
Yeah.
My dad's alive. Because he, you know, he's an older man, and I just, the point is, the thing that I am most fearful of is my father dying.
Wow, yeah.
Said with sensitivity, and I hope a bit of self-awareness,
Carrie.
Yeah. And
it's the same as me sitting here being like, oh, I haven't had a miscarriage. Like, you know, everybody has their own story.
Well, yes. Anyway, I hope it didn't. But, you know, that's the thing I try and be like, you have this.
Yeah.
You have this. You have this. And I've done that my whole adult life.
Yeah.
Dad's alive. Today wasn't that bad. Dad's alive. You can call up your dad today. And in the throes of all of this, I would try and remember her in that state. You know, she gets pregnant like this. And sort of try and get myself to a place of, look what you have. And I could, and it would be this feeling of like, in the throes of it, be like, if someone showed up right now and was like, okay, your dad's going to get cancer tomorrow, but you will have a successful pregnancy. I'd been like, okay, I need to have a child. Like, it fucks with you on
it
such
really does.
An intense
and like I said, those hormones
level.
Are, especially,
insane.
I can't imagine that you're, it's bad enough having, inverted commas, normal hormones, but to be injecting them. And the other thing is that, you know, even though you're obviously dealing with amazing doctors, no one knows what hormones really do to people.
Right,
and it
right.
affects everyone so different. I mean, like, look at, like we said, we're similar ages, you know, similar women. two completely different periods. Right. Like, hormones send people absolutely crazy.
Like, I feel like listening to you talk about a period, it feels as strange to me as if I were a man listening to it. Yeah, like, I'm like, wait, what happened to you?
Yeah, I know. So then you've decided to go, just let it take its course.
So it's going to take its course, and I'm sort of feeling okay, and I go to see Josie Long's show with a friend of mine who is pregnant, because everyone's pregnant, you know.
But that's how you feel when your dad dies. You feel like everyone starts talking about their dad or something, or dads, or it's Father's Day.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
You know,
right.
It gets turned up, doesn't it?
And she's, you know, being as good and loving and beautiful as she can. And
oh, that must be really hard.
It's hard.
Yeah. And of course, if you weren't have been trying for IVF, all you'd have done is like, so how are you feeling as a pregnancy?
Right. And it's about me now.
It becomes this thing of like, I don't want to ask you, or I can't ask you.
Yeah.
It's really tough because you can't be the normal. Yeah.
Right, you can't be normal. You can't be normal. You're sitting there being like, I would give my dad cancer tomorrow to get pregnant. I mean, you are out of your mind.
Yeah,
you're out of your mind. But now I'm feeling a little bit more normal again, and I start bleeding
on the
South Bank, beautiful summer day.
Oh, God.
And she's like, do you want, and I was like, oh, I wonder what, because you have, it's like, sorry to be graphic, but I think it's good to be graphic about bleeding and periods. It's like there's a little bit of blood, the way that it would be if your period was starting. And you're like, but what is a miscarriage? I have no idea. What is this going to be?
Yeah.
You don't know. So I call a couple of friends up who have had miscarriages. And I'm like, because I don't know where the pain is going to go
to. Yeah, yeah.
So I buy some high-class painkillers. I call up some friends. I'm like, what, you know, try to like get a stretch, like if I need to go in it to aid it to Annie, what she, you know, all these sorts of things. And it was like basically over the course of like maybe 24 hours, it went from, and again, what is a period even?
Yeah,
like what is,
period,
you know, it basically got to be like early labor.
Wow.
Like, I don't know if you, when you were in labor, like went on a walk or whatever, but when you're like kind of trying to walk, you know, you're trying
like
to walk, but it's like your body is pushing something out.
Wow.
But instead of it being a 6-pound baby, it's something the size of a sesame seed that's covered in all this tissue and all this sort of stuff. And so we're sort of doing that, and I'm bleeding, but like I kind of feel really good. Like I feel kind of natural and strong, and like my body's doing this thing, and it's a weird, helpful reminder that I actually got pregnant.
Yeah, and that your body is working.
It's sort of positive, and my body's doing this thing on its own. So, you know, you're bleeding more heavily and all this sort of stuff, and then there's some, this is very disgusting. So people can not listen if they don't want to listen. So, but then there's also this thing in my brain going, I'm going to save it because I want the doctor to figure
check.
Out
yeah.
why it miscarried and make sure it's not some chromosomal thing that's going to repeat.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what am I? So I think I call up the doctor. I'm like, what am I looking for? And he's like, you'll know.
Oh,
so you're like, what is going to, but I'm like, and I'm not squeamish. So I'm sort of like fascinated, but I'm like, am I going to see a dead baby?
Yeah.
Like, what the
And they do
fuck?
Look like tiny. When you go for that first scan, I thought I'd see a bean, and I was like, that's a fucking person.
Right, that's
like,
the shape of a thing.
Yeah.
Now, I never saw that, right? Because they're not going to, they're not going to do that.
But that fear of like, okay, what is it?
What is it? So it's a Saturday. It's like, you know, when we are recording this now, it's like a gorgeous, beautiful summer,
day.
And it's like that. And my husband and I decide to go see a Melissa McCarthy film at the Islington View and just have like a nice, nothingy, silly day. And we go to get Pinkberry frozen yogurt. And I'm just like, every time I stand up, I'm feeling like loads of just blood.
Wow.
And but it, again, it sort of feels good. Like it's the best thing that's happened so far. And we...
That's how I sometimes feel when I have a period, because you've had all this hormone build up.
It's just like, get out.
And you feel so good. You feel like, oh, it's just coming out.
Cleansing.
This is great.
There's like some kinds of cleansing to
do. When you have a heavy period, you're like, oh, that feels better.
And also with the
Even
stuff,
though
it's
painful.
Like, and then you can start again, you know?
Yeah.
And then we can do this and we can reset and start again. So we go to the Islington View and we have our frozen yogurt. And I'm just like, I'm going to go run to the bathroom. And I do. And I'm like, that's the miscarriage. Like, I pull down my pants and there is a miscarriage in my underwear.
Fuck.
And I was like,
yeah.
And I, Like, I don't, it was just the thing. It was, you know, and it was so shocking. It was like seeing, it would be like if, you know, people are like shocked by physical trauma.
Yeah.
Like, because suddenly if you see a bone sticking out of your arm, it's so discombobulating. It was like that. It was like someone took the interior of my body and it was now in a sanitary pad.
So it definitely doesn't look periody at all.
No, it is tissue and guts and like...
Wow.
It's like all of your uterus has come out. Like, it's crazy.
Fuck.
So I'm like, whoa.
What do I do?
So I just, I take everything off myself and like stuff all this tissue paper into my underpants. And I go into the cinema and I was like, I had the miscarriage. It's out of me. And he's like, what? I was like, are you okay? And I'm like,
should we leave the film? What's
and he was
happened?
Like, should we leave? I was like, I was like, do you think it can go bad? Like, and he's like, I was like, should we? So we decided to not eat the frozen yogurt and to use it to keep the miscarriage cold. Because better thing to do in a way than like sit and watch a ridiculous comedy?
But also, like, you know, sometimes they check your bags in cinemas.
We were already in.
You're in.
We were safe.
But
I'm like, and this is...
Ma'am, there's a lot of frozen... Don't touch the frozen yogurt.
Don't touch the frozen yogurt.
It's doing something.
It's doing a job.
Okay. Do not look in the tissue.
Yeah, don't look in the tissue.
Fuck.
So we...
That's very smart.
Thank
like,
you.
I'm kind
thank
of
you,
impressed
Carrie.
That you
thank
were
you
like...
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't know if I'd been... I think I just would be like, oh, I gotta go home, I gotta go home. I think I would have just had a freak out. I don't know. But that's, to me, that's very
level-headed. I don't
know.
I think I was so in this zone of feeling like my body was back.
Yeah.
Or something. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
So then we went, so that was that. And then, you know, I put it in Tupperware, put it in the back of the fridge. And that was like on a Saturday. And on that Sunday, we went in and they were like, I had a pregnant woman scan me to ensure that I had nothing living left inside me. And I didn't. And she was a bitch. And everyone at the hospital was lovely and wonderful. And it was like, of course, the person confirming my miscarriage was pregnant and a bitch. And so they sent off this thing for testing.
Wow.
And it came back like it was a one-off. You're at, you know, the percent, you're absolutely fine.
Yeah.
That you are not someone who's going to have repeat miscarriages. And then a couple months after that, we did it again. And I took a positive pregnancy test and had a pregnancy and had a baby.
Sorry.
The end. I'll see you later, Carrie Ann.
Mic drop.
But it was, and I think it's so, you know, part of what is impossible about infertility is that, like, there's... This is so something that is embarrassing and I worry stereotypically American, where it's like if there's some woman listening to this story right now who's in the throes, it's like, it's horrible to hear about a happy ending.
Yeah.
Because people are different, but I also think a lot of, like, I would read an article, like there was some, while I was dealing with all this, the cover story on like the Weekend magazine and The Guardian was a woman dealing with infertility. And I didn't like her writing. I thought she was very smug. And she was, and it was like all this stuff. And then she finally gets to IVF and she does a round of IVF and got pregnant on the first round. And when you're,
you because you don't know where your story is
ending. You don't know where the story is going to end.
So you don't have any, you know,
but
you can't put your foot down and be well, that's fine because we're planning to do our IVS next time and it's going to work. Like, there's no control.
No, but it seems like we're, you know, I have a good friend whose son is a week older than mine and she had to do, they committed to 8, they have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they're the people who you would want to have a lot of money because they're very nice people. and they work very hard and their number was 8.
Wow.
And she got pregnant on the 8th round, you know, but it's just like it, what it does is it robs you, like when you then become a parent, which is an incredible thing to get to do if that's the choice that you make and what feels important to you. But then your life is gone.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like you lose, like in some ways, the worst years of my life were the years before I became a parent. And it would have been... Wouldn't it have been lovely to have really been drinking in my time with my husband?
Yeah.
But whatever, you know, it's like, so that's part of your, you know, and then I also think what can happen for me anyway is that I was so fucked when I actually had a baby.
Mm.
And I think I think it was in part I had an extremely difficult sort of colicky infant, but also this, I was going to have a baby.
Yeah.
I'd been waiting for this for you. I mean, the expectations I put on this kid.
That I would just hold it and go, great.
Yeah. And I was like, it's the greatest thing. Yeah, not that any woman can do, but for me, it's going to be, and we're just going to snuggle all day.
Yeah.
And it's going to be so cute. And babies are so beautiful. I've always loved babies. I love them. It's going to be so good. And you're like, oh,
yeah.
I mean, it was the equivalent of a woman who's like, I can't wait to be married. Everything is going to be so amazing and romantic once we're actually, and you're like,
what?
Oh, honey.
Yeah. No, it's just harder to leave.
It's just harder to leave.
It's just way more complicated. Yeah, it's like when you have a row, you're like, we better sort this out.
And
we're like, I can't store it out.
So,
but yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
It's so much. And
I mean, having a baby, as you said, is amazing and awful at exactly the same time. Like it really is.
And different phases are good for different, you know what I mean? Like some people I think really feel like they've got an easy newborn, and then when you have a 1-year-old who's going crazy, that's hard. And for me it was just like nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing was as difficult as a newborn.
After you'd had this miscarriage, like how were you feeling those couple of weeks?
Well, my
afterwards?
Best friend had to call me up and tell me she was pregnant again. I genuinely just felt bad for her.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm so sorry you've had to do this.
Yeah, this is not fun for anyone.
And it was also hard because it was her second kid, and the first one, it was like I knew the minute after her husband knew. I was so involved in that pregnancy, and I was still living in New York, and that kid came out and I met it within hours. Aww. And she's mine too. And you know, it was that. And with this one, she didn't tell me anything because of what I was going through. So I found out when she was 12 weeks pregnant, and that was really difficult. And I knew why, but it was hard.
Did you feel a grief for, as you said, that fetus? Or did you just feel like, I'm just glad it's done?
I was glad it was done. I didn't feel so.
Because it's so, I mean, I feel so hard. I don't want to say something like, oh, it's so early, because that just sweeps away other people.
Well, this is the thing. It's all these complicated issues, right? So it's like,
for you,
obviously, you know, I have always thought, like, even when I had like very occasional, not even real pregnancy scares in my 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always, and I don't even like to say this, it feels so scandalous in this way, but I always thought, I don't think I could ever have an abortion. Because I think for me, a pregnancy, like, so of course I think if a woman wants to get an abortion when a kid is fucking 8.5 months, if you're 8.5 months pregnant, get an abortion. I don't give a shit. Get an abortion. But for me, I always thought, I thought my ability to project a life. Also, what was complicated is that when you do IVF, of course, sometimes you wind up with blastocysts, which are like advanced embryos that you can freeze. So my son, who is now 2, he was a frozen blastocyst, frozen off this round of IVF that I had the miscarriage on.
Wow.
So I think a certain story that people who have miscarriages can tell themselves is when they then go on, hopefully, to have successful pregnancies and have children, is like, I wouldn't have gotten this one if I hadn't lost that one. And isn't that an amazing... And my son, whose name is Gene, he was him all the time. Like, he would have been him if the first pregnancy had worked. He was just going to be... And so I think in the throes of it, I thought... My doctor, who I really was like, you will get pregnant.
Yeah.
You're just going to.
Well, I guess, and he must be looking at, like you said, people in, he's looking, said, in much more worse physical conditions.
Yeah, and he's just like, he's like, this is about it. You're having bad luck.
Yeah.
But it's your husband's sperm. You're going to get pregnant. This is not, it's a question of when. So we hope the bad luck goes away the next time. But if it doesn't, then there, you know. So he was, that was sort of his thing with me. And I remember thinking... And I've subsequently thought this. I'm like, but, and this sounds really greedy, and it is greedy, that was my shot at 2 kids.
Oh, yeah.
That was my first one, and this is my second. But I don't think that now that I've got this kid, I just don't think it anymore.
And
it's
that's just
like,
things that you say to talk to yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. It's things you say to talk to yourself.
That's pure torture. Like, imagine if that was the first, and then you kind
of... Yeah, and you're just like, what...
Yeah.
And I think I'm moderately good at shutting that stuff down. So I think I was, you know, I try really hard to appreciate what is there.
Yeah.
So I would look at my sister-in-law, who was now having a son that her dad was never going to meet.
Yeah.
You know, and just like she never says anything about him.
Yeah, yeah.
And she it's not like that. It's not like we don't say that, you know, and I try to ask questions and say his name and like do all this stuff and whatever. And I'm a hero. And it's actually about how great I am with her. And
everybody grieves really differently.
Yeah.
You know, and some people don't want to talk about it. That's the thing. Like, we're all
that's
like, everybody talked. And again, with like miscarriages and in particular, like, you have to be aware, like, it is important to talk. Obviously, but it's also important to respect whatever anybody wants. And like, there's definitely days when I don't want to talk about it. But someone's like, oh, but you're so open about it. You're like, oh, every day I have to be open about my grief.
Now you do, that's a calling card, open
like,
about it.
I know,
right,
you're
right,
like, oh, actually today I was hoping just not to have a conversation about it. So it's just, I think if we talked more, people would feel like they had the ability to say, oh, I'm not in the mood today. And it wouldn't be so like, oh, I'm never going to ask again. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because when someone is brave enough to ask, you feel like, oh, I should take this opportunity because they might never ask me ever again.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, and like, I wonder if it's, you know, I don't know, and I am trying to, you know, looking at that connection thing of like, if it is like that with miscarriage, of like, sometimes you just don't want to talk about it. Like,
I always want to talk about it.
But that's what, everybody's different.
Right.
Every period, you know, just because we're both women doesn't mean we bleed the same.
Our periods are different.
Yeah, we all bleed. But yeah, it's a complicated thing, but it doesn't mean you should, obviously, like I said, that's why it's worth talking about and worth respecting people don't want to talk about. But it's these, like, I haven't heard about a miscarriage the way you've just described it to me. Again, I have a friend recently who had to go through a similar thing, and I was asking real dumb questions because I was like, oh, I didn't know you went into like labor. Again, I've always heard this, it's a heavy period. So I just assumed it was like, oh, period pain.
Well, this is
but
the
you're
thing.
Right. Your body's trying to get rid of something.
Yeah.
The way,
like,
you know.
Like when I went in the early stages of labor with my son, I went on this long walk and the early, you know, early contractions were similar to a miss. You know, it was just really intense.
Yeah.
But ultimately manageable.
Yes, you hadn't
cramping.
Passed that other peak.
Yeah. It wasn't on the other side.
But
of
yeah,
pain.
Like you said, some people, and it obviously depends how late your miscarriage is as well.
Yeah, like, so I have I've wound up sort of two NCT friends. One of them had a miscarriage, and she's like, I almost feel bad about how not bad I feel.
Yeah.
You know, it can, it's just,
yeah, it really depends. It depends on
very,
so many. And I think it's, again, it's the, what's the word? Not the, like, the limitations of language. Like, the word miscarriage covers everything.
Too much.
Like, the word period covers everything.
Right.
As you're like, it doesn't really, you know, just miscarriage, it doesn't cover enough, does
right.
it? Of, like, actually what that means to somebody and the,
right.
and the different narratives that can form.
Right.
But yeah, so then you know, how long did you wait from that to
so that miscarriage, let me think about that. That must have been mid-May, like, so 3 years ago probably exactly, because I remember, when was the general election?
Oh, yeah, it's normally the start
was
of May.
Was it the 7th or something? It was like, that was the day that, the day of the general election was the day we found out the pregnancy was maybe not viable, and then it was just a horrible month.
That's awful.
And so June, July, August. I think it was about 2 months.
Wow. Okay. And then you start back on the hormones and
no, because if you're using a frozen one, basically all the stuff about them pumping you full of hormones and getting you to make all these
eggs
and pull out all the eggs, that part is done and done for you already. So now they're just making sure your body is like getting real fertile.
Yeah.
A nice thick lining.
Oh,
on
yeah,
the
thick
walls
lining.
Of the womb, and then just putting it up you.
Wow.
So we did that.
And then when they said to you, you're pregnant, did you, like, how
well,
long
so,
were you terrified
so,
for?
So my anxiety was through the roof, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, and I remember, like, so Jeff, my husband, we were trying to do, like, stupid things to have fun.
Yeah.
So we, like, went to see Billy Elliot. Like, we were just trying to, like, it was like, joy, nothing, fun, be fun, have fun, do anything joyous.
Yeah.
And we went to see Billy Elliot, and there's the scene in Billy Elliot, the musical, which was so horrible. Like, there was so, because it's so far into its run at this point, like, everyone in that audience is on their iPhone, not even watching the show, that you can't complain to tell them to get off their iPhone.
Oh, my God.
And the big scene is, like, when he's about to find out
yeah.
if he has made it into the dance school, and yeah. I couldn't watch the scene. Like, oh, wow. anything that had to do with, like,
yeah.
finding out a result was,
oh,
like,
wow.
I mean, yeah. beyond anxiety producing for me. Anyway, so I was trying to think about how to control my anxiety.
Yeah.
And this friend of mine who finally got pregnant on an eighth round of IVF, who is very smart and just no bullshit, like, she's one of those women, you know? She's yeah, the yeah. best, and what you see is what you get and all that. And she had worked with a hypnotist.
Oh, wow.
And I've heard that, like, very high anxiety levels makes you very, like, it can make it very effective. And I yeah. thought, all right, let's give this a go.
Yeah, yeah.
And I live in Northeast London, and I was, sorry.
Hypnotists are plenty.
No, I had to go to Croydon.
Oh, my God.
So I travel all the way to Croydon, and, you know, on the Saturday, and I get in there, and... So I've been in therapy for years, American, you yeah, know, I can't, yeah, sure. all this. But this woman that I see is like hardcore yeah. Freudian. Like, you know, it is no touch. This is not like, well, anyway, the point is this woman, yeah. this Croydon woman was a fucking hack. I sat there. I must have sat there for about 20 minutes just listening to all her career accomplishments.
Oh, my God.
I mean, then she started... I mean, one of the highlights, and this was one of a couple things that happens. So I am an emetophobe, which is like a diagnosis of vomiting. Like I can't, you know, it's a huge, huge problem for me and has been since I was a child. She was basically, her take was my body wanted to be pregnant, but I wasn't letting it, I wasn't allowing it to become pregnant.
Great.
So basically, I actually happen to be a woman who understands it's not my fault, and now I've got this fucking asshole telling me, wasn't that interesting? I think the body want, and I can remember, and I try and use this now, like with stand up, like in terms of managing anxiety and managing, like being like, you are in control of your brain.
Yeah.
I remember if I was a stronger, different type of person, more confrontational, I would have been like, do you know, here's your money but I'm going to excuse myself from this situation. And I just went, you're stronger than this.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you don't need to.
You're stronger. I've learned,
sometimes you don't need to tell everybody what they're doing wrong.
Yeah.
You don't need to like scream in their face.
Right. I'm just going to sit back.
Let you do your job. And then.
And let you do your job. Yeah. And then actually I was glad that I did because the hypnosis stuff was really, really good. And I was.
Take what you want.
Yeah. Like, take you know what you want. And she talked me through. Like. This thing, which I still use now, which is about like you see a stop sign and that stops a thought and how you hypnotize yourself. And I did all of that during all of the next round of IVF.
Yeah.
And, you know, I listened to the doctor had said it's not if, it's when.
Yeah.
So if it's not this time, then it will be the next time or the next, you know.
Yeah.
So we put an embryo up me early 2015, August. And I stay, you know, you just know that you're not going to sleep that night.
Yeah.
But also you have to build up enough urine to take like a nice big fat pregnancy test.
Oh,
and when
yeah.
I'd been pregnant the first time, we were in Chicago. We had gone for my mother's birthday. And I woke up in the morning, like in my childhood bedroom with my husband there, knowing I had to take this pregnancy test. And I peed on the stick. And I know this, I couldn't tell if I was pregnant.
Wow.
And so obviously I was, there was this, the faintest line. And as it turned out, that was part of the reason it was, you know, the hormones were all off and weird. Yeah. So I made my husband at like 3 a.m, Chicago time, because we were jet lagged and all this, take me to A&E in my hometown.
Wow.
We wound up spending £1,000 just straight out the gate. And I'm insured, but that's the US for you. And then this woman came in and told me I was pregnant, blah, blah. So this time, that had been my first experience with a positive pregnancy test. So this time I watched the documentary Every Little Step, which is about the Broadway revival of A Chorus Line, which is my favorite ever musical.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
And I watched it all night, and it made me feel safe. And I woke up in the morning and peed on the stick, and I think I wanted a moment to myself before I told, like, I think I wanted to tell my husband, but he woke up, you know, and I was like, well, I just peed, but it said to give it to, and like, as I said, 2 minutes, I looked at it, it was like bright double line.
Oh,
I was like, I'm pregnant.
Oh.
And it was just, it was the best day of my entire life.
You see,
it was the greatest
I
day.
I know it's a really hard journey and not everyone has happy endings, but I also think as much as it's important to acknowledge that, it's important to acknowledge that's great.
Yeah.
It's really good. Like, that's amazing. And then you do have this amazing little boy. And everything stands, you know, it's all a balance. And, you know, because I understand just
well,
about
this is
people
what's so
listening,
interesting is that, like, with your podcast, obviously, like, a happy ending is not...
Yeah, but that's why I'm so... It's so nice.
Part of the...
It's so nice. Because we have so many sad endings where people are like, well, but it's... You know, that is the world, that is life and death. They're just intrinsically connected. And it's,
yes.
I hope people understand, it's really nice to have a happy ending every now and again that you did get pregnant and you did have, and you know, yes, it's hard and all of those things. That should be celebrated as much as the sadness should be acknowledged. You can't just be like, yeah, but screw your happiness. These people aren't happy.
Yeah.
It's the same.
But I think it's also like part of what was really instructive about it as well is it was... I think for me anyway, it can be very difficult to understand that things can be different than they are. Like,
yeah.
You sort of think of yourself in one sort of box or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, so I was single for years and years and years and years and years and years before. And I was just like, I'm her. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm the single girl. Like,
yeah.
I have all these friends who this and this, but I'm like, I'm single. That's my
deal.
Thing. Single
that's my
Sarah.
Thing.
Sarah will have the funny sex stories,
yeah.
You know. And that now is a lifetime ago.
Yeah.
But that was who I was for, you know, and for these years, like 3 years, it was like...
And to understand, like, yeah, you know, you change, you grow.
Right.
And it's the same, yeah, it's the same with grief. Like, obviously, I'm still very different to that girl who was so angry that her dad had died. And I still have moments, and you still get flashes. I mean, I'm sure you still have your funny sex stories, but now they're about your husband.
I sure do.
Anyway, Sarah, thank you so much for coming to talk to me.
Oh, well, it was all right.
It was
in the end. It was all right.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You can follow Sarah on Twitter at Sarah Barron, and you can see her at the Edinburgh Fringe this year in her show For Worse. It's on at the Tron at 3:40 throughout August. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Griefcast or email thegriefcast@gmail.com. Music was provided by the Glue Ensemble and the show was edited by Kate Holland with thanks to Whistledown Studios. And remember, you are not alone.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.